The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And Jesus continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" Jesus asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all food clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. And this morning, we pray this in your blessed name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to be seated. We're back in the gospel account of Mark, after spending several weeks in John. And the lectionary, of course, had given us those several weeks in John, and in particular, John chapter 6, which is the Bread of Life discourse. And Jesus is teaching about he being the bread of life, and he's likening it to the manna from heaven that the Jews had received when they were in the desert. In fact, the reason he does that is they've challenged him. They said, "We want to see signs. We want to see wonders. You've got to prove to us that what you're saying is the truth." And Jesus, in essence, his response in John 6 was, "Not only is what I'm saying the truth, but I am the truth. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they may have eaten manna in the desert, but that didn't come from Moses. That came from God. And God is your provider." What ends up happening toward the end of John 6, if you were with us last week, is some of the disciples said, who can listen to this stuff? This is hard teaching. And some of them walked away. Some of them walked away from what Jesus was saying. And I suspect there are many a people in the world who have done the same thing with the teachings of Christ through the church. They've walked away from it because it's hard. It's very hard. In fact, I'll tell you this. It's impossible. It's an impossible standard to meet on your own. And thank God you don't have to meet the standard on your own. Thank God that under the new covenant that Jesus met that standard for you, that he came and he lived the life that was perfect, perfectly keeping the laws because we couldn't. And then going and laying his life down for us so that he would bear the punishment for the sin of the world. And what did he do? By doing so, he turned the world upside down. He became the only king in the history of the world that would lay down his life for the kingdom. Every other king, before him and after him, would send people into battle to die for the kingdom. But not Jesus. Jesus came as the king who would die for the world. So it's not surprising that we hear today he turns things upside down. In the gospel reading, the Pharisees, the teachers of Jewish law, they're getting on him and his disciples because the disciples decided to have a meal. And they didn't go through the, and this is the key word, ceremonial washing. They didn't go through the ceremonial washing of their hands. Now, I don't know if they washed their hands before they ate or not, but there was a particular ritualistic ceremonial approach that the Jews had gotten into the habit of doing. And it's very clear from the context of what we're reading here today, this isn't the law of God. This is the law of man. This is religious leaders getting together and saying, you got to skip, hop, and jump four times before you can enter the sanctuary and then spin around. And if you don't do it the right way, it doesn't count. And that's the kind of silliness that sometimes religion can bring to us when we fail to realize that Jesus didn't come here to start a religion. Jesus came here to give us an opportunity for relationship with God the Father in heaven, by giving us his Holy Spirit to live within us. So what does Jesus do today? Well, he kind of goes off on these folks who are questioning the disciples about their lack of ceremonial cleanliness. And he says, listen, it's not what you put in you that is going to defile you. It's just food. And in essence, what does he do? He declares everything clean. You couldn't eat pork before. Well, guess what? You want to go out and have a pork chop? Jesus says it's okay. You're no longer under that kind of law. You have freedom in Christ. Your doctor says you shouldn't be eating pork because the fat content is too high. Well, you got freedom. You can listen to the professional or you can choose to go ahead and eat your pork. You're not sinning. You may be being dumb if your doctor says that ain't good for you, but you got freedom. Same thing with all the other sorts of things that we can, you know, have choices in. People say, well, is it a sin to drink alcohol? Well, it's not a sin to drink alcohol. It's nothing in the Bible that says it's a sin to drink alcohol. It does say it's a sin to get drunk. Is it a sin to smoke cigarettes? Well, guess what? The Bible doesn't say anything about cigarettes. Cigarettes weren't invented back then. Well, am I not going to get to heaven if I smoke cigarettes? No, you'll probably get to heaven. You'll probably get there faster if you smoke cigarettes. Right? It's not a sin. Might not be the smartest thing you could do. So there's freedom. You have freedom of choice when you're a Christian. You get to make adult decisions for yourself. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't let the rules and the regulations get in the way of your relationship with God. And that's so important for us. If we think that the reason we're going to go to heaven is because we showed up this morning at 8:30 to pray together and to come to the altar of our Lord and receive his blessed elements, if that's what's getting us into heaven, we've missed the boat, folks. the glorious good news that we are going to go to heaven is the reason we ought to be motivated to come over here and pray together and worship together and approach our Lord's altar and receive the gift of the bread of life that Jesus was talking about back in John 6. That ought to excite us. That ought to get us out of bed in the morning, and even before we get our first cup of coffee, make us go, woohoo, it's going to be a good day. Because I get to start my day off in God's house in worship. I get to start my week off in worship with my brothers and sisters. That's the good life. But that lesson today from that gospel, Jesus says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And then, as if that wasn't hard enough, he starts listing them. I want to give you the list again. The reason I want to give you the list again is not to embarrass you, because some of these are pretty stout. But I want you to hear the list and realize that you're probably going to find yourself, or have found yourself at some point in your life, experiencing one of these things on the list. Because that's who we are. We have a sinful nature, right? Sexual immorality. Well, I'm not homosexual. Oh, it doesn't say homosexual. It says all sexual immorality. And Jesus says when you look at a woman, and guys, he just didn't let the women off the hook. Same thing for the women. You look at a man. You look at any other person with lust in your eye. That's sexual immorality. Jesus says you need to poke your eye out. I see you got two eyes. You actually got four eyes. You're wearing glasses. You must have never done that. You'd have poked your eye out by now, right? You know, yeah. Thank God Jesus speaks with hyperbole sometimes. Because you know what would have happened to me? I wouldn't be blind, and here's why. I would have had to chop both my hands off as a kid for stealing something that wasn't mine before I even got to the point where I was old enough to look at a woman lustfully, and I wouldn't have had hands left to poke my eyes out. What does that make me? It makes me a sinner. I'll tell you this much, though. It makes me a happy sinner to know I'm saved by Jesus' grace and to know that I can repent of that, and that doesn't have to be a part of my life anymore. Sexual immorality. Theft. Well, I just told you I already kind of did both of those, right? Took stuff that wasn't mine as a kid, should have chopped my hands off, because that's what Jesus said you do. Should have poked my eyes out. Adultery, murder. He said, well, I've never murdered anybody. And Jesus says, if you don't like your brother, if you speak with hate toward your brother or sister, that's as good as murder. That is murder. You've killed a relationship. Greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy. Oh, envy's a big one. That's one we probably don't even notice when we're envious. That's how it's so insidious. That's the enemy loves throwing envy our way. Slander. Arrogance. Good Lord. I'll be arrogant for a moment and say, all those politicians are so arrogant. But it's arrogant of me to even say that, to find the speck in their eye, and I've got a log in my own. Folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. It's not what we put in us that defiles us. We heard from James today. There's another part in James. He says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And he likens it to a rudder on a boat. He says, oh, it's a tiny, tiny little tool on the boat. But wherever the pilot of that boat moves that rudder, it causes the whole boat to go into a direction. You're a fisherman. You know that. You got an outboard motor, right? Wherever you move that rudder, you're going to have that boat going in the direction that you move. It's a tiny little piece of the boat. Unless it's a what?
The tiller or a small motor.
Yeah.
You push it the opposite way to go.
Well, but still, it's controlling it, right? And it's in comparison to your boat might be 12 feet, right? And how big is that? It's not a big 10 inches? Not even that big. That's the way the tongue is. Tiny little organ in the body. But the power of this tongue, the power of this tongue to defile by the stuff that comes out. But let me tell you the flip side of this. This is where I'm going to wrap it up for you this morning. The tongue also has the power to bless. The tongue has the power to bless. So if we can, by the help of Jesus Christ in our lives, knock off the arrogance, knock off the folly, knock off the smart aleckness, knock off the I got to get one over on them because they took a shot at me, I'm taking a shot at them back. I mean, we all do that. Knock it off and bless them. Use the tongue to offer a blessing. That's power. That's real power. I'm going to tell you a quick story, then I promise I'm really right. I feel like I'm a Baptist this morning. One more point. Amen, huh? There you go. You know, when a Baptist preacher says, and I'm about to wrap it up, you can look at your watch and go, he got 45 more minutes. I'm going to tell you this story because it's a dear Baptist minister of mine who was telling me about it. We get together every Tuesday morning, some clergy, ecumenical. We're from all over the spectrum. But we're all believers that this holy word is exactly what it is. It's God's word. We don't take liberty with it. But we get together every Tuesday morning, we read the scriptures, and we pray together. And this Baptist minister friend of mine was telling me that he came in contact with a gal. Actually, it was a lady who has a gal who's her daughter-in-law. And she's very upset because she was raised in the church, and in the Baptist church that he goes to, and she raised her son in that church, and he married this gal, and she's from another country. She is, I think, from Vietnam, but didn't have a Christian upbringing. Came to America and uses her tongue to constantly preach against Jesus, to the point where she told her son, I don't want you saying that name in my house. I don't want to hear the name of Jesus. I want you to stop saying the name of Jesus. She went around telling everybody, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't want to hear the name of Jesus. I don't want to hear people speaking the name of Jesus. And so Reverend Bass was asking, would you pray? Would you join me in prayer for this family and for this gal? And I got to giggling, which I do sometimes and at the most inopportune or inappropriate times. And finally says, Graf, what are you laughing at? I said, I just find it funny that the story you're telling, over and over and over again, she uses the power of her tongue to pronounce the name on high of Jesus. Every time she says, I don't want to hear the name of Jesus, I don't want people speaking the name of Jesus, I'm laughing because I think God's laughing and I think the enemy is really in a bad way. Because what is she doing? She's invoking the name of Jesus. The very thing she says she doesn't want, she keeps saying his name. She keeps saying his name. She keeps saying his name. And I think my response would have been that, that's okay. I'm not going to force Jesus upon you. God is a gentleman. Jesus is a good guy. You don't want to receive Jesus. I would have used Jesus' name about 10 more times in my conversation with her. See, the power of the tongue, not only that it can curse, power of the tongue is to offer a blessing. And I pray that you receive that as a blessing today, that you do so in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you do, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's rise together this morning and let's offer our profession of faith. If I'm not mistaken, I think this week we're using the Apostles' Creed. Is that what the bulletin says?